Hope you're all well, gentlemen. I hope you're all well. I want to start with an interesting... are you all fine, all good? Yeah? Yeah. I saw an interesting... it's nothing directly good to what we're learning, but I want to share with you, because it was, for me, a chiddush. There's a smag. Smag was one of the early Rishonim. He lived in a time that many of the Rishonim were very busy trying to get numbers and lists of the mitzvahs, going through the mitzvahs. There was a tkufa in the Rishonim, they were very busy with that. So the Gemara does say that there were 613 mitzvahs. That's a fact. But it's how you get to 613. How do you get to 613 mitzvahs? And there's machlokes Rishonim how you actually figure that out. Smag was one of them. Let us clarify, there was two smag. One is a smag which is known as a smag. Then there was another smag which is smag from Zurich. One of the very few Rishonim that actually... Zurich, Smag of Zurich. Now, Swiss people are very proud to one of the Rishonim, the Smag of Zurich. He's a fairly unknown Rishon. So I'm not referring to the Smag of Zurich. I'm talking about the other one. So the Smag, at the very end, he's got a very interesting shtickle at the very, very end. After going to the 613 mitzvahs, he says he had a dream. He says he had a dream. As he completed the Sefer, he had a dream. And in that dream... I forgot now who tells him off. I don't know who tells him off, but somebody tells him off. I don't know if it's I forgot who tells him off. In that dream, he has that what happened to the mitzvah of the lav of Yeshom Alecha Pentishkach is Hashem Alekecha. You've forgotten one of the lavim. You've done all the, but the one of them you've forgotten. Yeshom Alecha Pentishkach Hashem Alekecha. You should guard yourself not to forget Hashem. And then he suddenly realized, it's true, I've gone through all the Chamisha Chum Shatoya, but I've forgotten this one, I've not enumerated. And then the Smag himself says, this teaches me something really important, said the Smag. He teaches me a lesson. He says that which is really the mitzvah of Yirah Shemaim. And there's a bit of discussion in the Rishonim as to whether Yirah Shemaim to fear HaKadosh Baruch, if that's a mitzvah in its own right or not. But the Smag then says, you know, I've realized there's actually something missing. We've talked, so I've gone through all the mitzvahs, all the details, but I must have forgotten the rule, the foundation, the essential rule behind it. It's not the words used, but it's clearly what he's trying to say, is I've lost myself in the details a little bit. I've gone through the details and I've forgotten the story behind it. All these 613 mitzvahs, surely, what they're meant to lead to is to Yirah Shemaim. And I've forgotten that. The Smag tells himself, it's a fascinating shtickle. I was all busy with enumerating, going through all this, but I've forgotten the main thing, to fear the Yibanshim, to have Yirah Shemaim. And he carries on with that. I think it's really interesting. The reason why I was... this gave me a bit of something to think about, because it's a fascinating shtick, because we often do mitzvahs and we go not just the general mitzvahs, but when it filters down to the halacha lemaisa, we are very pedantic at times. I don't know if pedantic is the right word, but we're very machabit about certain things, as to go this way or that way, and sometimes we tend to forget that really, 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 to root behind it, and what's really the essential part, what's really the focus of that, the root of all that, is really that we should have Yirah Shemaim and really fear the Ribbono Shel Olam, instead of a technicality, just thinking it loses the whole, it's not meant to be a technicality, it's meant to be really leading towards Yirah Shemaim. There are in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, there are at times, as always, we're trying to make it as much halacha lemaisa as possible, but there is some seifim. I can't say some simone, but some seifim, which at times feel a little bit, to be honest, we don't encounter some of those scenarios so frequently. We're going to be talking about having a field, and we're going to be talking about sheep, and some of it is not really, most of us don't have sheep in our back gardens, don't know. But at times it feels a bit, you know. So I think that what we have to think about and remember is that really it's the understanding that it's not just technicalities, but it's men who lead us towards the Hashem. I mean, just something I just thought, you know what, I saw this smag and I want to just put it in context. Yeah.
So what's the origin of 613?
The Gemara says in Makkos, Amr Shimloi. The Gemara says, I forgot now, the Gemara brings, the smag doesn't bring this. I believe it's the Gemara in Makkos. Kamoa Makkos says he learns it from a posse in Novi perhaps, or it's a Messiah. I forgot now exactly what the, but it's a, the starting point is we know there's 613 mitzvahs.
Is it possible that
I don't remember. It's Gematrius perhaps, yeah. Okay, Rabbi Issa, we're up to Simon Sif Yud Gimel. I want to do Sif Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, they're both quite long. But I want to also speak about, I want to get to Sif Tezayin, I hope tonight, perhaps we can get to tonight, because he's talking about an interesting concept of competition nowadays. I thought that would be a hetzer nowadays or not, but let's get to that first. So Sif Yud Gimel speaks about issues of Achborim. Harborim amais, issues. What's issues exactly? Now let's see how the Mishnah Berurah defines that, issues. So I'm in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Zayin. I've just started Sif Yud Gimel. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotlin Lamed Ches with two lines from the bottom. So issues is Usheretz Kotlin, it's a small animal. She'ein lo einayim, which has no eyes. V'dar kolach po bifneim, and he tends to dig in bifneim akarke, digs holes in the ground. And if it's found in the fields, he calculates, it ruins the trees through its diggings. So an ishus is a mole. I think it is. Now, I don't know if it's true. I forgot to ask my son, who is very into animals. Do moles really have no eyes, or they're just really, or they're nearly blind? I think I seem to remember once that they're just very, very, very poor eyesight. And I think they're very small eyes and they're covered by fur, so you can't really see them. But do they really have no eyes at all? Does anybody know? Google. You Google it, right. Okay, I wonder, because the Mishnah Berurah says, Ein lo einayim. So I don't know if that's a duke or not, but I wonder if moles really have no eyes. I've got to ask, my son will know. So, okay. So now, so we're talking about over here is mice and probably moles. Shemaf sidim b'steo ilon. Now, steo ilon is a field that you have planted. So there should be really lots of growth coming out from this steo ilon. Muta lotsudon kedako. You have this field which has produce, and you have animals there which are potentially ruining your field, either by digging holes in the ground or by stealing its fruit. Are you allowed to catch those animals and trap them? I don't know how you trap them all exactly, but you're allowed to do that. Are you allowed to do that or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Issues v'achborim shemafsidim b'steo ilon, mutu letzudin kedakoi." Yes, you're allowed to catch them and trap them. You're allowed to. Shechoy v'guma. He's telling us a little bit how to do that. You dig a hole, v'soy lebo metzudin, you hang inside it the trap. Don't know how exactly it's going to work, but you make a hole and then you trap inside it. It's somehow going to be caught. V'afilu b'steo avolovon b'smuchol b'steo ilon. And not only that, but if my neighbor has trouble with mole, and he's got moles ruining his fields, and I'm living next door to him, I'm also allowed. V'afilu b'steo avolovon b'smuchol b'steo ilon. Mutar l'tzudon kedakoi. Even if I am worried about my field, and I don't have evidence of moles and mice, but he does, I'm still allowed to trap them. Because they'll still often wander around. They will come from his field, which is infested, and they'll come to my field. So therefore, I'm allowed to trap them. However, if it's not my neighbor, if he lives down the block, a few fields further down, and I am worried, I heard that he's got moles and mice, so I'm allowed to trap them, not directly, because it's down the road. It's not really next to me. I'm still allowed to trap them, not regularly, but alidei shinui. Shinui it's shpud ba'oret, umenanu lekan v'lekan, ad shenas is gumo. I'm taking a shpud, skewer. I put it in the ground, umenanu, and I shake it, mekan lekan lekan, both directions. Ad shenas is gumo until I've created a hole, v'soy leba metzudo, and I hang in it, the metzud, and I put the trap in it. So I don't physically make a hole, I indirectly make a hole in a slightly bizarre manner, in an irregular manner. That will be called a trapping b'shinui. I've made the trap there, I've placed the trap there in a shinui way. It's not completely irregular. And that I'm allowed to do if I'm not infested, my field is not infested, not even my neighbor, but further down, there's problems with moles. I'm allowed to do that in such a way only. More stringent opinions hold that if you don't have evidence of moles in your field, actually have to do it with shinui as well. Even if your neighbor's got. V'im, I'm turning to page 16. V'im eno smuch les teo ilon, hosel afili shinui. And some say that if you have Some are more stringent and say, yes, my neighbor, I'm allowed to do Thrushinui. But down the road, further down the field, I'm allowed to do anything. So I've got a machloikas. In my field, for sure, I'm allowed to make a trap. With regards to a neighbor, some say I'm allowed to do regularly. Some say I'm only allowed to do Thrushinui. With regards to not my immediate neighbor, but further down, some say I'm not allowed to do any trap. And some say you can only do a trap b'shinui. See if you dalet. Ein machlis in tzoyin l'daya. B'chol amoed. If it's about fertilizing a field, how do you fertilize a field? What's the best way of fertilizing a field? You bring a herd of sheep there. That's the best way of doing it. So you're not allowed to do that. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to bring in sheep into your field to fertilize the field. By the way, why not? Yeah, you're not doing this for now. Yeah, it is fairly passive, but you're still machnis, and there's still an element of allowing the animals in. That is not completely passive. There's an element of
li. What's wrong? What am I actually doing?
It's going to fertilize the field. Absolutely. There is an element of tircha, of preparing, of making the field. Yeah, but we'll see soon. Not only that, but it goes even a step further. So let me start from the top of the seat again. You're not allowed to allow sheep to fertilize. Fertilize the field. I'm not allowed to do that. If my goy, I've got a shepherd, he knows what I like, he knows how to do things, and he is, the goy is by himself and naturally allowing the sheep in, mutar for Shabbos is permitted. If the goy does it, if I be up, that's fine. Even if I will be grateful for his action. But I'm not allowed to pay him. So the goy does it for me. My neighboring goy, he says, oh, let me just sort that out, bring the sheep in. If he does it, and after Shabbos, he says, shkoyach to him, and you say, thank you, that's okay. But as long as you're not going to pay him, even if I'm not even paying him, but I'm giving him some food, I'm giving him a nice sandwich with a bottle of whiskey, I mean, even that I'm not allowed to. On Yom Tov, however, I would be allowed to pay him by giving him food. But I'm not allowed to pay him literally, monetarily, payment for allowing to get the sheep into the field. I can't do that. So on Chalamoid, if he does it naturally, I can do it. As long as I don't pay him, I don't support him, I don't help him, and I don't encourage him. If the goy brings on Chalamoid, as long as I don't support him, it's okay. As long as the goy does it. If the goy gets paid for the week, for the month, or for the whole year, and not for the day, then you could actually even help him. If the goy is employed for the year, you are my shepherd and you see to the animals, and he's seen to do that on Chol HaMoed, fine, you can leave it, and you can even send a helper to do that action. All right, that's with regards to allowing the herd of sheep to fertilize the field on Chol HaMoed. Okay, Siv Tezvov. Also, likta, this is with regards to harvesting. You're not allowed to harvest asodeh b'chol amoed. Harvesting the field. Are you allowed to harvest the field? On chol amoed. Good. That's the rule of thumb, absolutely. So, also, likta asodeh b'chol amoed. I'm not allowed to harvest my produce on chol amoed. If the produce is going to stay nice and good until after Yom Tov, if the stuff is going to get ruined, what's going to be then? If the apples are going to be rotten by then, if the oranges are going to be rotten by then what? Yeah, then pick it, yeah. But if they're going to stay nice and good, I'm not allowed to harvest. Now, however, im ein loy ma yoichal. This is a hetzer we've spoken about previously. If this person is poor, he has nothing to eat. Afilu moitze beshuk liknois ein matzich nois likach min hashuk. If he's a poor man, but he has in his field an apple tree. If he's a poor man and he's got in his field a field full of produce, do we tell him, okay, listen here, don't cut, harvest, rather go to Tesco and buy some food? Do we tell him that? We say, no, you've got some apples in your garden, you've got some trees and some produce, pick it, Gesundheit. If he's got nothing to eat, even if you find in the market what to eat, we don't ask him, we don't require him, we don't force him to take from the market, rather, he can cut, harvest. He can do all the malachas required, including winnowing, in selecting, kedaka as usual, before, as long as he doesn't bring cows in to do the threshing. Why can he not bring cow into his field? Can't bring cows in. He's allowed to harvest, he's allowed to pick, he's allowed to sieve, but you can't bring cows in. What's wrong with cows? That's a bit too much. No, it shows like a bit, it's too public, I think. It's a bit too much. That's if he only needs himself. But if he needs really the amount that require cows, then he can use cows as well. So the point is, Rabbi, the point from this sif is straightforward. The point of this sif is, if a person requires that food for a living, for eating, for himself, you have to do whatever you need. If a person is hungry, he needs the food, you can go in the field and pick what you need. Oops, good question. I don't know. I don't know what you think. I really don't know. I don't know. What would be the loch ahead? He had the opportunity before. I don't know. Good question. Yep. Ah. I don't know. Lemaisa, the only thing which is questionable is the poorest use cows is a bit too public. Avoid cows if you can. It's a bit like, you know, taking the tractors into the field. That's sort of pushing it. You know, try to do it without the tractors. But if you need that, then that'll be fine as well. Now, Rabbosai, Sif Tezayin is very, very noigya loch lemaisa. I have two ways of understanding this short Sif. And the implications of the two pshatim are enormous. And let us see what it says. Okay, bottom of page 16, Sif Tezayin. Mi sheyesh lo kerem etzel karmo shel ein yudi. You've got a vineyard, and you've got a goyish neighbor who also has vineyards. Ve'ein yudi boitzer sheloi b'chol ha'moed. On chol ha'moed, you're just coming home from Musaf, and you're coming home a bit later, just about to have breakfast. And you're trying to enjoy Chol HaMoed, and lo and behold, what do you see? That your neighbor, your next door neighbor, is now busy taking the grapes of his vineyard right next to you. Why is that bad news? Why is it bad news that if he's taking the grape, that it's bad news for you if your neighbor is taking the grapes? Pardon? No, he's taking his grapes. Why is that bad news? Shulchan Aruch says, bottom line, ve'im lo yiftzer ha'Yisrael, kame sheloi yafsir. If I am not harvesting, if I'm not going to pick mine, I'm going to lose out. Oh, so Mr. Berlin learns competition. I want to go there in a minute. If the fact that he's going to take his, I'm going to lose out, therefore, yochel levotzoi, I'm allowed to harvest my grapes, ve'loduch, ve'lidroi chayayin, to press the wine, press the grapes, make wine, to prepare the barrels, and all the required processes of winemaking below shinu in a regular way even. As long as you didn't intend to do this in Chol HaMoed. Habayis, I want to get this clear. This is really, really noigea lemaisa. Whatever business branch one is, this could be extremely noigea. I'm very, very novuch. I'm very torn how to understand Shulchan Aruch. I want to call you Mahalach, Mr. Berlin's Mahalach. Mr. Berlin says as follows. What is this Kohen going on about? The Aruch is as follows. I have got a vineyard. I'm coming home, Chol HaMoed, I'm having breakfast. I see my grapes, in principle my grapes are ready. But I plan to do it after Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, I'm going to see to my grapes and sell them. I'm going to harvest my vines after. What do I see? Suddenly my next door neighbor, Goy, he's taking all his equipment, he's coming with machinery, he's coming with helpers, and he's cutting off all the grapes. And they're ending up, and he's selling them, and he's going to sell them now. Mr. Berlin learns pshat, in this Shulchan Aruch, that if I don't harvest my grapes, I will lose out. Mr. Berlin's pshat is, and I know Rabbi Berkowitz learns like that as well, that if I am not going to harvest mine, what's going to happen? He's going to sell his grapes, he's going to manufacture them, he's going to sell them, they're going to end up selling. He's going to make pots and pots of money, and I will be lost, I'll be left with nothing. It's a big loss. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if there is blatant competition, I'm allowed to do melachas and work. That's called, according to you, pshat, why is it permitted? To avoid it. It's a loss. So Rabbi Yisrael, this is a massive chiddush. What we're learning over here is, according to this pshat, according to Mr. Berlin's pshat, the pshat is that if there is competition and I'm going to lose my niche in the market, is that the word? The niche in the market? That's considered Dovah of Eid, and I'm allowed to do business on Chol HaMoed. Wow, that's a very, very big Kiddush. What would that mean, Aloch Lamaisa? If this competition is going to sell, and I'm not going to sell, I'm going to lose that. Is that really, could that be? Imagine, so if you sell anything really, are we any high street pub?
Can we apply it more widely?
Yeah, how would you apply it?
No, is it definitely?
That could be pshat. That could be pshat. There's another pshat. I didn't learn Shulchan Aruch like that initially. I learned.
That would be
pshat in Shulchan Aruch. Yes. So what would that mean? Aloch Lamaisa. Let's think this further. Let's explore this further. If you have a shop of if you sell shoes. Whatever business you're selling, yes, come in. Now you know that if you're going to sell now, it's going to go. You're going to make. But if you're not going to sell now, you're going to withhold the stock for a week or two. Then by then, you know it's going. The market will have picked up already. Your competitors will have sold already, and you'll be losing out from this, and you'll lose the market. You'll lose a part of the market. According to what we are seeing now, and according to where we are learning now, which is new Mahalach, which is an established Mahalach, that would mean that you are allowed to sell because you are losing your market. Competition is a genuine heter. It's a massive chiddush.
But unless you make a chiddush, and you say that here, maybe there's a niche market that is.
The grapes.
You've got to
have a rhyme
now.
Shulchan Aruch's word is, what will he lose? So I want to say, I learned Shulchan Aruch differently. And according to my understanding, which I was not able to confirm anywhere, but according to my understanding, there's no raya whatsoever for this Mahalach. And that would be that, has anybody seen the grapevine? I don't know exactly how it works. I've never looked into it. It would be interesting ones to see. But the way I understood is, we're talking about the neighbor over here. Why are we talking about the neighbor? It's just, I understood, pshat, that if you have, you know, these vines, yeah, they look like stands, yeah, they look like rows of these vines, yeah? So now, I understood that if he is cutting he's harvesting his grapes, so what's going to happen is then my own botanic reasons. What's going to happen is that my grapes, my vines are going to get ruined. They're going to get lost. They're going to go to waste. That row, because he's my neighbor. So by cutting his grapes, my grapes are going to go down the drain. Because maybe the source of water, or because they've cut off, they come from the same. You know, they come from the same. same nourishment, same, you know, you cut off the... So I understood that Ve'imlo Yivtzera Yisrael Gam Esholo Yavsit meant a very practical aspect, that if I'm not cutting my grapes off, then they're going to get spoiled. If that's true, which it could be, it's complete not true. But if that would be true, then we have no right, and it's nothing to do with competition. It's a practical element that grapes, which my neighbors cut his side of the vine, and you know, if I'm leaving mine untouched, they're going to go to waste. According to that, he has nothing to do with competition. Rabbi said it's a very big halach lemaisa nafkamina, because if there is a heter, as you're suggesting, and I know Rabbi Berkowitz also learns Shulchan Aruch like that, if there is such a mahalach, then there's a heter of competition. I think it's a very far reaching heter.
Should have
You're saying that.
I'm saying a bit right to the second malach. It sounds like
it's not the head. Yeah. In it could be. I really don't. I'm very novel. I'm very, very torn about this. I really don't. Not only that, but you can even send the goy to cut off the. How are you learning about it? So what do you think is poshup shat? Any suggestions? Is there a heta of competition or not? That will be enough kamina.
If it is competition, it's going to be very certain circumstances. Today, market's so big, whatever you're selling.
I'd say...
And this one is
going to
go bad.
Yeah, so I know, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. So if you've got an Amazon...
business today.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you're saying that... So I would argue if you've got a high street shop, that could probably still be relevant.
Someone live in a small town and they're not going to buy tomatoes and they're not going to want your tomatoes. Right. I understand. But in an open market today, it's...
You say that you want to make a difference where... I am. Kenzan, it's a good spell of that. It could be.
Unless it means because people are buying wine for Yom Tov, but what?
Doesn't sound like it either. It doesn't really sound like it. Doesn't sound like it. Just to finish off, basically with one more Mishnah Berurah, which it's important to point out, and Sivkot Nun Dalet Mishnah Berurah here on this. I don't know why Mishnah Berurah only brings it here. An important idea. It's with four lines on the bottom. I'm Ashkosav Pshim Regechta Odom Choshov, an important man, which I think over here translates into Yireh Shemaim, I believe. Tzorech Lehach Me'af Bedova Oveit. There is a Chumrah that even if something is permitted Dova Oveit, and we've encountered now, I don't know how many examples of Dova Oveit, the Mishnah Berurah brings over here in the name of the Taz, in the name of the Rokach, that if there is if a person is Adam Choshev, he should refrain even from relying on the Heter of Dovah Oveit. So Dovah Oveit is not a blanket Heter. If one person wants to be stringent, there is room for stringency by any Heter of Dovah Oveit. It's a controversy, it's a machloikas, but it's such a tzad. Okay, this was Simon Tov Kuf Lamed Zayin, and we'll continue Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Tov Kuf Lamed Ches. I wish you a very, very good evening.